Action cures fear. Hey, champions, welcome back to another awesome episode of Champion Reads, the podcast where we go with best-selling books by best-selling authors and talk about the principles with it. My name is William Blake. I am the Dyslexic Achievement Coach and one of the executive producers. And today we also have the founder of Champion Circle, John Kovach Jr., who, man, how many titles do you have, really? There's so many things that you do. Today, we're talking about the wonderful book by David Schwartz, The Magic of Thinking Big. Last time we talked about just a nice overview. Yes, love the image. Just a nice overview of what it was. And today we're focusing on something that I think is applicable to everyone, which is courage. So let's jump right into it. You know, when I think of courage, the first thing that comes to my mind, and I love how David lays this out, is that fear isn't courage isn't the absence of fear, but it's having the fear, but still doing it regardless of it. And so many people get that confused. I know I did when I was young. I'm like, I am scared. I am so fearful of so many different things. And because of that, how can I be brave? How can I be courageous in doing the things I do? And then someone somewhere mentioned that to me saying, no, you're good. You're totally fine, Willie. It's not the absence of fear that makes leaders great, that gives them the courage and the boldness to go forward. It's that they still feel that inside, but regardless of it, they're still willing to push past that limit into bravery, into everything that goes with it. So I just love this topic. John, what are your thoughts? What's courage to you?
Man, well, you know, there's the time-old experience of those who have wanted to jump off the diving board and how scary heights can be. But when you just jump off, you know, nothing bad really happens. You fall for a second and then you hit some water. And then you're back to your comfort zone, you know, that you can swim out of it. And it's interesting that we loop in this idea of taking leaps of faith. And I'm corrected by a mentor figure of mine a while back when I used to say, you know, just take a leap of faith. You'll land where you want. And she says, no, John, no, you got to take a leap with faith. And that means even though there's fear that is present, you can still conquer that because action conquers fear. And that amazing woman was Sharon Lecter, writer and co-author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad and creator of Think and Grow Rich for Women. And she's completely changed my life. But man, do I just love this idea that action takes over. And I could only say that, you know, when I was an athlete, Willie, I was nervous, almost threw up every single time I would get to the starting line of any of my races. And it was because I'd build up this anxiety in my head before every race. And even though athletes look like they're determined and they're ready and they're going to battle, you know, as one of the fastest on the track when I was back racing, I knew that everyone next to me was also going through the same anxiety and fears. And some of them actually did throw up before races and some of them held it until after. But whatever it was, you know, you get all worked up. But as soon as the gun would go off, everything would change because I was in motion. And as soon as I was in motion, I was in control. And people think that, like, oh man, I lost that race. So-and-so passed me at the end. I just didn't have, you know, I just didn't have it in me. It's like, no. I don't buy that for a second. You always have control once you are in motion. Now, if you're like a baby giraffe, gangly legs and stumbling along, you might need to gain control, but you know, that's what experience brings. And so I like this principle because action does help conquer fear, but repeated action gets you into the repetition of building the muscle of conquering fear. Will fear ever go away? I don't know. To be honest, I don't think so. But there isn't an absence of fear. It's an increased or an enhanced explorative feeling of faith when conquering fear. And that's what action does. So literally just Nike it, aka just do it. And you'll find yourself in motion, rolling through the punches, and gaining control as you go. I love this principle.
That reminds me of America's Got Talent, where people are so nervous behind the stage. And the best advice that they give is just go out there and start, because that's when the nerves are going to start to come down. And that's when you're just going to be able to do it. But you being backstage and just thinking about it isn't going to knock the nerves away. It's when you start doing it, start getting to the thing that you love to do, that's going to help with it. Hmm. One of my favorite things to teach, and I even did a podcast episode about this a couple of weeks back on my own podcast, where I talk about the single difference between being nervous and excited, which is the way we think about it. Because if you think about being nervous, most people don't like public speaking. So if you were to go up on stage, for those listeners who have this kind of fear, what happens when you get to the pulpit or get to on that stage platform? Your heart starts pumping, your adrenaline starts going, you might bob up and down, you might sweat a little bit, right? Your body's reacting to this quote-unquote nervousness. Now take that to, let's say, Lagoon or a roller coaster park. What do you feel when you're excited about to go into the roller coaster? Your heart starts pumping, your adrenaline starts going, you start bobbing up and down, you might start sweating a little bit. So the symptoms are the exact same, but it's the way we think about it that I think determines kind of the result that comes from it. Because if we think of it as nervous, then the result might be the same as if we think of it as excited, but we're not going to enjoy it. And I think the people are also not going to be able to enjoy you, in this example, public speak, as if you were excited. That seemed like a sentence that my dyslexia hated. But when you're on the other side of, if you think that it's exciting, well, then you're flipping it. And I think people start seeing that. And I know, John, you gave the example of Olympic athletes. I think in an interview, that's what Michael Phelps did. The interviewer asked him, like, hey, are you nervous? And he turned around and said, no, I'm excited. Hmm. And it's the way that we think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. When you get that anxiety feeling, you know, it is what it is. You tell yourself what you're feeling, but you can convince yourself that what you're feeling is different. And I love that example of Michael Phelps. And I remember that interview because, yeah, it is excitement. It's a ball of energy that's in you, and it doesn't know what to do, where to go until you start moving. And it's just a powerful thing to remember. I mean, like, if you think about it, once you conquer a fear, you feel unstoppable. You could go run a mile, pun intended. I mean, it literally is liberating. But when it comes to stepping into that, you know, I have found simple as the steps of counting yourself down, right? Mel Robbins, she has the 5-second rule, you know, just count down from five or count up from five. I don't remember what it is, but you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm doing it. And you need to verbalize it. Like, I am stepping into this scary thing. Most people, when they jump off a diving board or something with heights, you know, they scream as they jump off. It's that release. It's like the anxiety is leaving the body. But you know, bringing this to more of an applicable professional example, I just think that when you are in motion, you can gain control, and if you can gain control, you can conquer any fear. I was gonna go into an example about the, you know, Halloween, when you go to those haunted houses. I mean, you can also teach your brain, teach your mind that these things aren't real. Therefore, they're not that scary. You can get surprised, okay, which is the exact same energy that Michael Phelps found before races, which he was excited. Excited is just an energy burst. So is surprise. But fear and anxiety, I know people get freaked out by those things, so I won't make fun of them. But I literally ruin haunted house experiences because I just go and laugh the whole time because I know they're actors. I know it's not real. I know it's animatronics and all those things that are just moving and visual effects. And I just kind of sit back, laugh and enjoy. And maybe that's my weird response mechanism to that defense. But at the same time too, it's like when I have confidence, it literally creates a belief system that I'm okay. And I'm in control. And I think people need to understand that. Practice it like it's a muscle and work on it so that they can overcome and conquer fear.
Yeah, it's the flight or fight. Yeah, you can go with flight. Fight or flee. Everyone knows what I'm trying to say. the fight or flee mode. That you either engage and are just in the trenches or you just run away from it. But I think there's a third part of you get so well practiced that you kind of make your own type thing. Like in scary situations, you laugh it off. I'm with you. Whenever like a lot of stuff hits me at once that would be super stressful, I just have to laugh. Just like laugh at life, thinking, oh my goodness, we're on for a crazy ride now. And that's just my release mechanism of thinking that everything's still going to be okay. If my life goes to pot, everything's still going to be okay. I still have my life. My wife is still around. I got 3 beautiful girls. Like, I got a house above my head, food in the fridge. Everything is fine. So it's like, everything's okay. Everything's okay. And that's a powerful saying when it comes to being courageous. Just saying that everything's okay and that nothing really bad is going to happen in those moments. Very, very powerful. I remember one time, John, the Prophet's Mastermind, way back when we were doing that, the first time I went there, I labeled my feelings as anxious and being nervous. And I felt I provided no value to the people who were there because they seemed like they were, goodness, millionaires and just multi-business owners and just so vast and high-leveled while I was sitting at level one. And I remember during like the mastermind portion when we were in the group, that all I could do is just sit there and listen to everyone else, which I think was fine. Like, that's the stage I was at. And if I had value, I could share it. But that feeling of worthlessness, I'm like, I don't feel like I'm courageous right now. Fast forward to today, I sit in meetings and I still might not share insights that I have simply because I don't have them for the people that are going on. But it's different because I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, instead of me having the resources that they need, I can sit here and just be a word of encouragement to them. Like, that's my value. So it brings back to everything is going to be okay, to having that courage built upon simply that saying.
Yeah, I love this conversation. I could literally go on for forever, but you know, just to let people know, and before we move on to the next topic, because I really like this topic, is that it's not nearly as embarrassing as you think it is, or it's not nearly as scary as you think it is. Your brain is the ultimate Hollywood creator. It amplifies things to such unrealistic perspectives, yet in reality, when we're all staring at you being like, what's, you know, why did he freeze? You know, why is he frozen? Like, why did he pause? Like, it's not nearly as bad as it seems. And it doesn't look as bad either. In fact, I know I mentioned this the other day on one of our trainings. Let me grab the book. It's right here. I know we've talked about the four agreements on this show too. And, you know, it's just important to always be thinking about there's the second agreement, which is don't take things personally, but as a pattern and interrupt to that topic, you know, when you are in your mind, in your brain, you are taking things so personal and literal because the brain is producing something, but it is all chemical. There is this cortex here and a few muscles there and things in your brain that are just active at work because you have fed them, but you can actually exercise them and fast them, and fast as in like not eating them or fueling them, and move further away from that. But we won't get into that because I'm not the scientist to tell you about that. I have a guy who will. There's some good stuff. Pick up the book and grab a copy. It's awesome. But what I really want to talk about on this agenda here for us to converse is, you know, think big and act big. I'll just give the example of Tony Robbins. He teaches a lot of what I call inflation through expression. And I call it that because inflation is the increase of something by injecting more of it into the market, right? But inflation is like adding in and flooding it with sources. And he talks about breathing exercises, and every morning he gets up in front of the mirror, he puffs himself up real big and power poses, and he says positive affirmations. I am big, I am strong, I am confident. And there's so much power in that. And people might say that this is just, you know, baloney, it's full of hot air, like you can't really make yourself bigger. But if you think big, then you can act big. I mean, this is why Champion Circle is so focused on teaching Think and Grow Rich principles. And it's because when you think a certain way, you become a certain way. And whatever that reality in your mind is, it can become a better reality in the actual existence. So I'll pass it back over to you. But when you actually inflate yourself with positive, courageous, and confident energy through big, deep breaths, breathe in that confidence, it really does stick with you and changes everything. And I am a testament to that. I've seen it happen every single day when I get up, go out of bed, take on calls, do the things that I need to do to keep the roof over my head. It's a powerful principle.
Absolutely. This idea that I just thought of will ring true to our listeners who love financial stuff. Think of inflation as what needs to happen in order to you to just stay at the same level in life. Because life is going to change. Life's going to throw you this way and that way. So think of that as inflation, because it's going up and you need to build more skills and build soft talents and everything that you have to keep up with it. Most people have a mental bank account that they're keeping their money in, and it's not making them money. It's not making them interest. They're getting that 0.01% interest while the inflation's sitting at 4%. Oh, darn. But for the people who understand, for financial terms, inflation and interest, in order for you to simply be better than inflation. You have to get past that threshold, which I don't know what it is right now, but for this example, we'll just say 4%. Once you get past that threshold, then everything else is basically a bonus or an increase in what you have. So while most people sit in their own mental bank accounts, what needs to happen is to for us to have our own increase. And we got to force ourselves to do this because life pushes us, and that's what most people do. But we force ourselves into situations to where we're able to grow our hard skills. We're able to grow communication, grow the knowledge and the wisdom that we have, grow the mistakes and the failures that we make to learn the lessons to then get the successes that we want. I love this analogy because when it comes back to thinking big and acting big, you can't just think I need to match inflation. You got to think I'm going to beat inflation tenfold, a hundredfold, a thousandfold. And then I obviously thinking has to be backed by action or it's just a wish. So when you go forward with whatever dream or journey that you're working on, think big, be able to have the courage to broaden your mind and go for something bigger, but also make sure that your actions are backing it, because you don't want to be all wishy-washy. You don't want to be a wantrepreneur. You want to be the entrepreneur.
Such powerful words. I love that line. You don't want to be the wantrepreneur. You want to be the entrepreneur. Wow. That just gave me chills, Willie. I had to pause and take that one in and breathe in the confidence of that statement, because you're absolutely right. You know, desires are important, but action is the discipline necessary to creating results. And you know, that's one of my favorite repeated lessons, because I'll be honest, guys, as smart as I portray to be, as I come on here with all these experiences and stories, I am human, and I am probably just as human as you are, because I have things that I require in order to let them stick. There's this idea of stickability, and there are certain things that are so stickable, so stickability, that you can get it in one go. And when they're as powerful as the stickability process, and they really, really stick to you, you know, that was an effective form of sharing. But sometimes, and for a lot of important things that aren't like fun or stickable, it takes me maybe 8 or 9 times of repetition before I even remember what I'm talking about. And that's not forgetfulness. It's just how my brain and I learn. And I acknowledge that, but I love how these constant life lessons need to be repeated to us, because they become great reminders of what it is that we absolutely need to do on a daily basis, and in order to achieve success, of course. But the magic of thinking big is all about conquering fears, thinking big and acting big. And then that courage is so powerful, because your courage is what leads to, you know, the decisions that give you everything you need, fueling your body, fueling your soul, so that you are conquering your fears, overcoming challenges, and getting results in your life. I speak into this with so much confidence, because my life has been a series of events leading up to me just leaping off of the diving board and going in feet first, because I know that if I do it, whatever's on the other side is worth it. I'm going to obliterate this, Willie, but there's this example, and I'm just going to tell it like it's my story, so I don't really stumble upon it. But, you know, say you come across a room with one door, and I'm going to let my internet catch up. Looks like it's slowing down. You come to a room with one door, and there's a dark figure standing by the door, and you ask the figure, what's on the other side of that door? And the figure says back to you, I cannot tell you. I cannot give it away, but I can promise you that it would change your life. If that was the only thing to build off of, would you take the risk? Would you walk through that door? It's like the Matrix. Do you take the red pill or do you take the blue pill? Everything can be as they are, or things can change. And I have always said, you know, that change could be bad because change is both positive and negative. That could be different. That could be something. But there's one thing that I've come to learn and believe in my life, and part of my self mantra, Willie, is that change is everything. Change is the most important thing we can experience, because if we are not changing, we are decaying, or we are deceasing, or we are literally withering away. Because if your progress isn't progress, then it's digress. And if we can't be moving forward, then progress is getting further away from us. So I'm a step through that door and find out what's on the other side kind of guy. And I know that's scary for a lot of people. That's a hard one to grasp, but I promise you that change is good, because the more adaptable you become as a human being, the more strong, courageous, fearless, selfless, all of those qualities that you admire in your heroes, that's what you become. And I am so grateful for taking leaps like that and being the kind of person who has conditioned myself to do that, even when it's the most uncomfortable or the most unknown. You know, leaps through those doors of opportunity and change are only inviting opportunities to help you become a better problem solver.
Man, I'm grateful that you are courageous as well in taking that. Just knowing you with everything, it's been phenomenal to see you taking courageous acts, and has been impactful for me. As we kind of wrap up, I want to bring up a thing that you said. I don't think that being courageous has to be a big step. Like, being courageous can just be a small one. The example I have is when I first started out my journey, I thought my dyslexia was just this really hard thing to overcome. But I came across the statistic and I'm like, it said 95% of CEOs read 50 plus books a year. I thought, cool, that I want to be a CEO. I want to be a business owner. That sounds nice. There's no way I'm going to read 50 books, but a book a month doesn't sound too hard. So I'll start doing that. And I wrote down 1 through 12 on a little card and went to the bookshelf, grabbed Rich Dad Poor Dad, I think it was the first book, and started reading. And from there, it's just exploded into 60 plus a year. But in those first instances, like, that was a step of courage, of setting a goal that before I read maybe an average of 1 book a year, most of the time just being like a weird fantasy fiction book, to then reading a lot more. And that step, what people wouldn't consider being a brave step, but it took a lot of courage for me to pick a book and to start reading towards a goal that I thought was impossible. And now I'm like, shoot, I'll hit 12 books in a month. Let's go. Like, it's such an easy thing for me now, but it wasn't easy back then. And that's the key thing, is that the courage that we take in the small steps lead us to where we need to go and help us become the person we need to be. Not because that one moment is going to make the biggest impact in our life, but because the small moments that lead up to it and small moments that we do in between are the ones that define the destiny that we're creating for ourselves. I'd love to hear your final thoughts, John.
Yeah, I love your words, Willie. I feel very cerebral today, and it's just been a really great conversation of reflection and conversation. And I usually I'm like ADD and woohoo, let's go. And I do feel bound to this reflective energy at the moment, because it is so motivating to know that courage isn't easy, but it is worth it. And I love surrounding myself with courage. I love putting myself in places where I have to exercise courage. The journey of 100 miles or 10 miles or 1 mile, whatever the quote is, the journey of 100 miles begins with 1 foot forward. And that is one of the most courageous steps. I tell my story from stage about the 8-year-old who ventured up the mountainside with his backpack to fulfill his family's destiny, only to realize that the first 2 miles were straight uphill, switchback trails, and I was completely unprepared for the pain, for the suffering, and for the just absolute surprise of an experience that this was. And while in that moment, I condemned that for the rest of my life, saying, I am never coming back to these mountains. It is not something I'm ever going to do again. I'm proud to say that the hard things have become my greatest, greatest accomplishments and triumphs and favorite memories, because even though I hate it every single year, for the 34 years I've been alive, and have been able to, I go back up into those same mountains, not because I'm a glutton for punishment, not because it's a forced thing. It's because I learn so much more about myself when I put that 1 foot forward. And that's it, Willie. You're gonna be so much more proud of your own self, and you're going to find yourself in places you never expected to be if you take it one beautiful step at a time. Courageous, fearful, doesn't matter. Just put your foot in front of you, put your shoulder to the wheel, whatever you gotta do. Just get moving, get into action. There we go. We're back to it.
I love it. What a way to end. Take action. Start moving one step at a time. Thank you, Champion listeners, for another awesome episode of Champion Reads, where we just went deep diving into The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz, talking about courage, talking about taking action. If you've felt inspired and want more inspiration, go ahead and subscribe to Champion Reads, and you can listen to more episodes and be updated when new ones come out with the same perspective, awesome perspectives and experiences. We want to hear from you. Go ahead and jump over to our social media platforms. You can find us. If you actually just go to our website at mychampioncircle.com, there you can find all of our social links. And send us your comments, your questions that you have. You can send that to info@mychampioncircle.com. And until next time, champions, go ahead and be the champion in your life. You get to write the story, and you get to take the awesome, courageous actions that you need to. And you're already at that level. You just need to start today.